And this morning we're looking at Mark chapter 1, which talks about Jesus as our healer. After the message, Paul McCleary is going to come up, one of our elders, and he's going to lead us in a time of praying for healing. And the elders will be available, will be ready to anoint for prayer where you are, and give you opportunity to pray for each other and pray also maybe to ask for prayer for others that are not here this morning, whom you know and love. So let's pray together as we consider Mark chapter 1. Lord Jesus, you are here this morning. And so, Lord, we welcome your presence. Lord, without you, we are nothing, but with you, Lord, we have everything. Because we have God himself among us. So, Lord Jesus, we welcome your presence. Would you speak to us? Would you walk with us as we continue to worship now through the hearing of your word and in our prayer for one another in your name? We pray for children in the other room, that they know your presence. Lord, we pray for our brother and sister in Glenview as they are installed for ministry this afternoon. Pray for your presence up and down the streets of the borough and into Wrightsville and back the other way and across the river and through the woods and everywhere, Lord, where your name is proclaimed this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So Pastor Albert was the best known preacher in his city. But he was having to limit his preaching because he was starting to have breathing problems, severe breathing problems. He was 37 years old, a relatively young man, but he was saying, you know, I don't know how long I can do this. But in his background, he hadn't really considered Christ as healer. You know, I mean, he preached from this book. He thought, you know, that really has to do more with what happened back in Bible times. But he went up to a conference in Maine. And there was a medical doctor, a Christian medical doctor, who was speaking and saying, you know, Jesus heals not just in the past, but he heals today. And let me introduce you to some people that have been healed. And during the course of that week, there were 200 people who stood up and said, here's how Jesus healed me. Here's how Jesus healed me. God was obviously at work among them. And so he picked up his Bible and he read from James chapter 5 that said that if you call for the elders of the church and they pray, they anoint you with oil and that the prayer of faith will make you well. And then he went down to the seashore and he saw a piece of a seaweed going back and forth and back and forth. And then finally he picked up that piece of seaweed and he put it up on the shore. And he seemed to hear the voice of the Lord. And the Lord seemed to say to him, Albert, that's you. You're that piece of seaweed. And you keep trying to get to land, but just when you get there, another wave pushes you out to sea again. But I know what's going on. I've been watching you. I want to help you. I want to take you to safety, but you won't let me pull you out of the water. And Albert said, Lord, I think I hear you. And he walked over to the pine grove and he said, Jesus, he said, pick me up. Lord, won't you rescue me from this illness? And he felt like the Lord had healed him. And he said, well, we got to check this out. And so he went over to Mount Kearsarge over in New Hampshire, which was not too far from there, and it was a 3,000-mile climb. And old Albert Benjamin Simpson climbed that hill without a problem. I said, Jesus, he said, you've healed me. Lord, you've done it. And it was Albert Benjamin Simpson that founded the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which is known by this logo. And one of those pieces is a pitcher, as in a pitcher of oil, which has to do with anointing for oil. He said, that's something that we need to talk about. It's something that we need to emphasize. And he did. In the early church, the infant church had physical needs. They were in a time of Roman occupation. And many of the Christians were also fleeing for their lives. And so, I mean, it's like over in the Ukraine today. Who knows what's happening in their hospitals? But when someone bombs your house, all kinds of things happen to you physically. And that's what was going on with them as the Romans were slicing apart their towns, and as Christians were fleeing from their lives because they were, all kinds of nasty things were being said about them. And that's when Mark wrote this gospel. And Mark said, our hero, our rescuer, our savior named Jesus has come. And so in this gospel, we've already seen the quick dartings back and forth, quick little pictures of Jesus. We see a Christ who has come onto the scene. He's introduced by John the Baptist, who gets out of the way. He resists the temptations of the devil himself. He calls followers to come after him from the seashore. And he shows that he has authority spiritually, but also over the physical world. We're not under occupation, but we've got physical needs. We've got lots of needs. Spiritual needs. The battle continues on. Physical needs. We're just human beings. And Jesus runs into our world like he did to theirs, into a world that's broken, a world that's conflicted, a world that's desperate, a world that needs him. And our healer is irresistible. And what Jesus does by ministering to our physical needs is he brings the community to our door. You remember that Jesus called the disciples to fish for people. And so by addressing people's physical needs, he leads us in fishing for men and women. They go over to Capernaum, the hometown of Simon and Andrew. And they say, Jesus, mom is sick, Simon's mother-in-law. And they bring Jesus right into the bedroom, and they say, Mom, can you do anything for Mom? And they're standing around, and Jesus takes her hand. And sure enough, as he takes her hand, he tells her to be well, and she is. And like any good hostess would do, she hops out of bed and says, okay, boys, get to work. She said, we got company here. What do you want? But then pretty soon the whole town is company. The whole town is coming to her door. People that are sick, people that are demonically influenced. And he heals the sick. And he exorcises demons who are influencing those people who have possessed, who have demonized those people. And when we go fishing with Jesus, which we do as we follow him, we bring Jesus to the sick. We bring him to those who are darkly influenced. and he heals them and he delivers them because Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for us, but he's for people in our community. He's for people beyond our community. These were fishermen. They knew what fishing was about. You remember the first two of them where they were net casters. And when they pull in a net, they get everything and all kinds of fish. And that's what Jesus does as we join him on his fishing expedition. He gets church people. He gets people that are de-churched or never churched or wish they is running as far as they can from a church. But Jesus loves them. And when we go fishing with Jesus, they've all got physical needs. You know, when we go to the hospital, you know, hospital knows no color line, no economic line. We all go over there and, sorry nurses, but we try and spend as little time there as we can, but we all got sick. And that's the way that Jesus is. We have physical needs. We have emotional needs. We have spiritual needs. When we go fishing with Jesus, it pulls everybody in because we all need Jesus. So let's join his fishing trip. As we follow Jesus, we are looking outward. We're looking at our family members. We're looking at our neighbors. We're fishing around the community. We're fishing down the street. We're fishing around the world, sometimes with people that we never met. A while ago, I had an acquaintance over to the east of us, over in Lancaster County. And he said, I want you to read a book. He handed me, he said, this is about your family of churches. He wasn't from an Alliance church. He was from a Mennonite background. He said, a relative of mine wrote this book. He said, you'll enjoy it. Let me tell you about it. It was about a man by the name of Charles Hess and his cousins who were the Landises. And some of them met a man by the name of Albert Benjamin Simpson back in the late 1800s. And the Lord did some healing, some physical healing in their lives. And some of them ended up going to southern China and opening up the door of China. And here's what was going on in that day, which had to be similar to Jesus' day. There were sick people everywhere. There were people that had malaria and dengue fever and smallpox. And there was nothing in that day that could treat it. But they prayed for healing. And Jesus healed some of those people. And that's what started the gospel moving in southern China. And then eventually some of them came home, and you know, one of the ladies from that group was one of the founding members of the Lancaster Alliance Church. When we go fishing with Jesus, we don't know where he's going to take us. It might be nearby. It might be in southern China. It might be somewhere in between. And he's going to use his church, his broader church, people of all backgrounds to be part of drawing people to himself. And one of the things that he often does is he uses the ministry of healing. Now, what's hard for us is that he limits himself. So in the morning, he does that for now, as he did for then. So in the morning, you know, people are starting to line up at the door, and Jesus has apparently gone out even earlier or out the back door, and Jesus has gone off to pray to his Father. And our Creator, the Lord Jesus, he has been encountering human pain as he did in Nazareth as a boy, but now he's seeing just the depth of it. And his heart is pouring out to us, and he's come to redeem us. He's come to heal us of everything. But as he talks with his father, the father says, yeah, you know our mission. You know why you're here. The disciples find Jesus and they say, Jesus, come on back. They're all waiting for you. He said, no. He said, I can't. He said, we need to go. We need to move on. He says, I have a kingdom mission. He said, I've come to begin a kingdom. We're not going to heal everybody now. One day, all of this sickness will be gone. But for now, he says, my mission is bigger. And so he starts to move around the towns of Galilee, the province of Galilee. He preaches there. He battles evil forces. He chooses to limit himself for then, as he does now. You see, what he was doing is what he's called us to do, was to give a preview of the kingdom of God. We give a preview in our relationships. We give a preview as we cry out to the Lord, and Jesus heals sometimes, but not always. And we trust him to make the decisions because we trust him, because we love him and we know him, and he's walking with us through life. Some of us, I'm thinking Paul McCleary, and I'm guessing Claire, and maybe one or two others. Remember a couple of Alliance pastor brothers, a little bit older than I am, but not a whole lot. But anyway, David and Glenn Thomas. The names David, big, I don't know, I would say strong guy, a guy with a big, deep voice. Spoke at a church in Massachusetts. He's now in New Hampshire. I think he spoke at some of our larger gatherings. And as I was around a while, I found out that there was another Thomas who was his brother. There was a Glenn Thomas who was from upstate New York. And Glenn was about this high, and you could just tell that he'd had some kind of a birth defect. I think it was something to do with his heart. I don't remember all that it was, but like a lot of folks who are born with defects, he died young. And as David reflected on what had happened, because I can remember praying for him and praying for others like him at our gatherings, praying for his healing. And the Lord said no. And so David, reflecting on that, he said, you know, I know that God is all-powerful. I know that he could have done that if he wanted to, if he chose to. I know that he's sovereign, that he's the king, that it's not what we want, but what his purposes are that are accomplished. I know that he's sufficient. And so he was with him, and he's with me now in our suffering. And I know that he's eternal. So somehow this is part of his longer story in his already but not yet kingdom, a kingdom that has already begun but is not yet fully on display. And so he said, what we need to do is to seek Christ. Not the healing, but to seek Jesus. He said, my brother's got Jesus. He wasn't healed here. He's healed with him. And he said, if we will seek Jesus, and Jesus first of all, then many will be healed. Many will be delivered. And we will always have him. Somehow we don't understand it, but Jesus limits himself for now until that day when he comes and everything is better than it was when heaven and earth meet, and everything is better than it was even at the beginning when everything was created before we fell. Well, Jesus sends us chasing after him for more. There's something about Jesus that is just very attractive, and we long for him to do things on this planet. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but we always have Jesus as we seek him, and his irresistibility is demonstrated. Because what happens is that Jesus attracts everybody. There's something about our physical needs that pull us to him. So, last year, you know, I did some extended chaplaincy work at the hospital, and someone said to me, "You are in thin space there." I've told you what thin space is. So I need to write this out for a second. So the Irish, the Celtic Christians talked about thin space, which is where heaven meets earth. It's that place where maybe you go or I go, you know, I have a place where I go and I meet with the Lord in the morning. It might be this place here. It might be where you came to Jesus. It might be on a hilltop or out in the woods. It's where you meet with Jesus. And what this man said to me, he said, "The hospital is thin space everywhere." Why? Because when people are in need at a hospital or often when they come in here, often we come in spiritual need, it's when we're vulnerable. And when we're vulnerable, it's then that we open our windows, our doors to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I need you." Because we find out it through our physical need that we need him. That we can't make it on our own. So here's what happened. Think about the leper. The leper was banished from society. Think about this. He's living in an outcast, probably in a leper colony. Jewish religious law, civil law, I would guess as well, said that man cannot come. And it was for good reason, because nobody else wanted to get leprosy. And this guy hears about Jesus, and he breaks into the crowd, and they all break away. And Jesus breaks Jewish law, religious law. And perhaps, it seems like he may well have risked his own health. Think about that, because he was human like us, to touch the man. And the man says, "If you're willing." And Jesus has just come back from spending time with his father. He says, "If you're willing," he says, "you can make me clean." And Jesus touches him and he says, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." And his skin was clean. He was lily white. He was healed of leprosy. And here's what the rabbis believed. The rabbis believed that it was more difficult to heal someone of leprosy than it was to raise someone from the dead. So Jesus said, "I want you to keep this quiet. I'm not going to be able to go anywhere, and I got bigger purposes." But he says, "I do want you to go tell one bunch. Go over and tell the rabbis that you have been cleaned, that you have been healed. Because they will notice that something is happening here, that the kingdom has begun. And I want them to know." And so that's what he does. He goes over. He goes over. He tells the rabbis. But this poor guy, he just can't keep quiet. He's been banished from town. He runs back to see mom. He runs and he sees his aunts and uncles. He sees all of his cousins. He goes into the synagogue. He says, "Hey guys, look at me. Look what happened to me." But Jesus can't go out in public anymore. The kingdom has come. His kingdom is near. And the new world in Christ has begun. What's hard for us is that the king's purposes are greater than we are. This is so hard. We have people that we want to be healed. And we say, Jesus, please. We've had testimony this morning of many that are healed, but then we could just as, you know, it wouldn't be a happy service, but we could just, I mean, Tom is back after seeing his mom go to heaven. And we prayed for her on a regular basis, but the Lord said, okay, now there's a time, and he took her home. Many of you know I have a sister with ALS. And it's so hard. Her speech is going. We're all going down there for Thanksgiving. We're all the family's going to gather together so that, and we pushed a gathering up because we didn't know if she'd be able to talk. It's really, really hard. And I'd like nothing better for the Lord to heal my sister Kay. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. It still could happen. Some of my brothers say, keep praying. But the Lord is giving her grace and her family grace and us grace along the way. Because we know that she's part of a bigger story. She loves the Lord. She's served the Lord for a long time. And the king's purposes are bigger than she is and bigger than we are. And we trust God with that. You see, when I started ministry, I was afraid of the supernatural. I went to a Bible college that said that really it was pretty much limited to the New Testament times. And then I joined a group called the Alliance, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which was the group of my youth, but which I had been away from since I was about 12 years old. And so I land in Alliance Church and I hear about A.B. Simpson and started hearing his story. And then I picked up the Bible. And I read verses like Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, that said that he took our pain, he bore our suffering. By his wounds we are healed. And I said, well, I've always thought that that just has to do with Good Friday. That just has to do with our salvation. But then I learned that in one of the other Gospels, that the Gospel writer quotes this verse in talking about the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. And then I read from James chapter 5. And I thought, well, that's pretty clear. The elders are supposed to come, and they're supposed to anoint with oil. Hopefully not with oil, evil, but with oil. It'll come to me. The prayer of faith, even in our flawed humanity, the prayer of faith will make them well. And so we proclaim a king who saves souls and a king who heals us of our diseases and who instructs us, who calls us to pray for down payments of the kingdom of God, for down payments of the world to come, knowing that sometimes that he will answer our prayers, as he did in Jerusalem, but as he's done all over the world for 2,000 years.